Welcome, everybody, to the second test episode of Crime Pop. My name is Jeff Wyrick. I'm joined by Trevor Lister.
Hi there.
And Sydney Bowman.
Hello, all.
Sydney is going to be taking today's crime. Just for a quick recap, this is a true crime style podcast, but instead of true crime, we'll be discussing fictional crimes. Anything from a movie or a book or a TV show or a music video or just a tweet you saw once that made you mad. We like to have broad horizons over here. Sydney, would you like to take it away?
Yeah, so this week I decided we would travel to another world and we're going to cover Voldemort.
Voldemort.
Voldemort, as in like from Harry Potter. So the way that I tried to design this is to not go into a lot of detail as far as Harry Potter himself goes. So if you haven't read the books or watched the movies, that's okay. I'm going to try to go into somewhat detail into all of these little nuances of Voldemort himself, but go into his background, possibly why he became evil and tried to take over the wizarding world. Just for clarification, what experience do you guys have with Harry Potter?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, with Voldemort specifically. My hero.
Me and Voldemort play poker on the weekend. I've read the books. I've seen the movies. I used to be big into it. I mean, I'm still big into it. I just don't have the time anymore. But, I mean, I did. I used to read Pottermore stuff. Like, I've been all about it.
Yeah, and as...
You're a big Potterhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, as for me, I was, like, really, really into it. Up until, I guess, like, Order of the Phoenix, Half-Blood Prince, somewhere in there. And then, man, I lost it in that last book. I think I just, like, I was just turning pages, not really Anyway, not...
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to shit all over Harry Potter, but...
I mean, the last book was when it got good again. I mean, you're right, Order of the Phoenix and Half-Blood Prince were... They drug a little bit.
But either way, no, I really enjoy the whole series. I saw all the movies, so this one I can talk about.
There we go.
All right, so a little introduction. Dark wizards are not necessarily uncommon in the wizarding world. We see this in, you know, like, going back to, oh my goodness, what is the book?
Fantastic Beasts.
Yes, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So we see this in Grindelwald, but none were as powerful or as notorious as Voldemort. So Voldemort has a massive following. He has influence over government leadership, and he has the skills and power to take over the wizarding world. But something I think we'll see towards the end of this is it's possible that his own cunning was really his downfall at the end of this. So Voldemort was born from the wizarding world and the wizarding family, the Gaunt family. So he's the last living relative of Salazar Slytherin, which was one of the founding members of Hogwarts, the School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. His mother, Merope, was thought to be a squib, which is someone who doesn't have magical abilities. But really, she had just been verbally and mentally abused by her father, Marvolo, and her brother, Morfin. And it suppressed her magical abilities. So she really did have magical powers. They were just suppressed from all of this abuse she'd been experiencing. So the family and past generations had been very, very wealthy. But now all they really had left for their fortune was Salazar Slytherin's locket and a ring, which we later find out is the Resurrection Stone, which is one of the Deathly Hallows. Jeff, you look surprised.
There's already so much that I didn't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So then, Voldemort's father, we know him as Tom Riddle Sr. He was a muggle that lived in a mansion up the way from the Gaunt's home. Merope was absolutely in love with him, and she would watch him every day as he rode past their home on a horse. Morfin knows of his sister's crush on Tom Riddle Sr. and shoots a spell at him one day. and this broke the wizarding law of using magic in front of muggles. A battle breaks out between the Gaunts and the Ministry when they come to basically tell him, you can't use magic in front of muggles. Muggles are people that were muggles. People that don't have magical abilities.
You and me.
Yeah, Jeff, maybe it's a different story. So a battle ensues between the Gaunts and the Ministry officials, and the Gaunts end up being imprisoned, and Merope is finally free from their grasp, and she actually does start to use magic pretty openly. So Merope runs into Tom Riddle, and she starts to give him love potions to make him fall in love with her. They end up moving in together, they end up getting married. She becomes pregnant with the person we now know as Lord Voldemort. She continues to give him the love potion throughout her pregnancy. She eventually stops thinking that maybe he actually does love her. Maybe, at least if he doesn't love her, that he'll stay for their child. But when she stops giving him the love potion, he leaves her pregnant and depressed. And she never uses magic again as a result of that. So, Tom Marvolo Riddle, which is Lord Voldemort, was born in an orphanage on December 31st, 1926. His mother, Merope, dies during childbirth. So, Tom Riddle grows up in the orphanage. There's several instances of him killing animals, speaking to snakes, stealing, and scaring the other children in the orphanage.
Is this, I'm sorry, go ahead. This is a magical orphanage, right?
No, this is Muggle.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So the orphanage workers state that he is friendless, highly self-sufficient, and secretive, but yet he's still seen as charismatic and charming, polite, and has a thirst for knowledge.
Oh, good. All the early stages of a serial killer.
Right, or a psychopath.
Yeah.
So we know that he becomes, or finds out that he's a wizard when Dumbledore comes to the orphanage and tells him he's a wizard. He goes to Hogwarts, and it seems like everyone loves him. All of the teachers love him. In his last years at Hogwarts, he becomes a prefect. He's what's considered the head boy, which is like the top of his class. And, but there's certain circumstances of people recognizing like a darkness in him, specifically Dumbledore, which is the head. What would you call him? The headmaster.
You had half. You're almost there.
Slughorn also like regularly noticed him kind of slipping, right?
Right. And I think that was more after he left Hogwarts, which we kind of
get into really?
A bit later. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he comes back and questions Slughorn about some things, and Slughorn kind of realizes, like, there's this evilness about him. So after discovering who his father actually is through, like, multiple different types of research that he does, so he finds out who his father actually is and that he's a muggle, that he has no connection with the wizarding world at all. He originally thought that it was his mother who was the muggle and that it was his father that was the wizard, but in reality it was the other way around. So he goes to their home, to his grandparents' home, who his father actually still lives with them, and kills his father and his grandparents. And then he pins their murders on his uncle Morfin, who is no longer in prison. So at this point, he begins to research Horcruxes, which are basically hiding a part of one's soul in an object, so that if you are killed, then you can come back to life, essentially.
Real quick. So, I'm sure we'll discuss this here in a bit, but he was really young when he started looking into Horcruxes, right?
Like
sorry, go ahead.
He started looking into them when he was still at Hogwarts, but it wasn't until that he actually started creating them.
Gotcha. And are we going to get into why he started looking for those?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Next.
I also, thanks. I also, not to bring it back, I didn't realize he was, you know, a fairly powerful guy. Like, doing the basic levels of research just from experiencing it, I always thought that Grindelwald was, like, considered way more powerful. And the only reason Voldemort was a big deal is because he happened to be in the book that was written about the universe. But I didn't know he was, like, super strong.
Yeah, I mean, he has the charisma behind him. He has the following is really the big part of this.
Right.
So he has all of these followers that, I mean, they will die for him and they'll kill for him. So I think that's really the big difference there.
Gotcha.
So he starts killing to make Horcruxes. He specifically intended on creating 7, which is considered to be the most powerful magical number. We later find out that he actually ends up creating 8 when he accidentally makes Harry one of his Horcruxes.
Bum, bum, bum.
Spoiler for Harry Potter, by the way.
Yeah. This is all spoilers for everything Harry Potter related. So, after graduating from Hogwarts, he gets a job at Borgin and Burks, which is a dark wizard shop. This is despite him getting numerous jobs or job offers from the Ministry of Magic, which is basically the governmental entity of the wizarding world. So why you would go work in retail when you could have, I don't know, but he does. He's exceptionally good at conning people into selling their treasures and family heirlooms. And he does this over the next several years, acquiring objects he wants to turn into Horcruxes, killing every time as necessary, and slowly begins to gain a following. He begins recruiting giants and ogres for his army, and killing people when necessary. So people begin to fear him as he kills hundreds of people and begins to take over the magical world. He brings so much fear into people that they refuse to use his name, calling him you-know-who or he who must not be named. And it seems like nothing can stop him at this point. This is until he is told of a prophecy, which states, and this is kind of lengthy, so I apologize, but it says, "The one with the power to vanquish the Dark Lord approaches, born to those who have thrice defied him, born with the 7th month dies, born as the 7th month dies, and the Dark Lord will mark him as his equal, and he will have power the Dark Lord knows not, and neither must die at the hand of the other, for neither can live while the other survive." After hearing this, he decides that the boy Harry Potter is the one that this prophecy speaks of, mainly because of his birthday. His birthday is July 31st, which is the same as my dad, coincidentally.
Shout out.
He attempts to kill Harry Potter. He ends up marking Harry as his equal instead of killing him, and this gives him the lightning bolt scar. So the spell essentially rebounded and hit Voldemort, harming him and forcing him into hiding for the next 10 years. When this spell rebounds, it essentially creates a bond between Harry and Voldemort, and it makes a part of Voldemort's soul latch onto Harry.
Was the spell Avada Kedavra?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to verify.
So it latches onto Harry because he's the only living thing around that a Horcrux could latch onto, essentially. So.
Yeah, the spell, the reason that Harry didn't die, they explain it as it was a spell his mother cast, right? Or whatever it was, something, love.
It was love. That's it. Yeah. I didn't realize that the Horcrux, I didn't realize that it latched onto Harry because it went to something that was living.
Yeah, that's something I don't fully understand. I assume that it's because it was unintentional.
That's, yeah, I think you're probably right.
So with all of his other Horcruxes, he intentionally made that part of his soul latch onto that specific object. But I guess in this situation, it needed to latch onto something living.
Yeah, right. Like, instead of Voldemort, like, chipping off a piece of his soul, it was, like, a piece of his soul was knocked off of him.
Right.
And so it just kind of launched, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Professional podcaster.
So something I thought was really interesting in this is it's, like, if Voldemort hadn't tried to kill Harry, would he not have gone into hiding, you know, it wouldn't have made him essentially die or go into hiding for the next 10 years. It was kind of like a, I don't know, like a Hail Mary in a way. He thought he was able to kill Harry, then, you know, he would live on and be able to take over the wizarding world like he intended to. But in a way, him trying to kill Harry was his own downfall in a way.
Yeah, don't fuck with prophecy.
Right. Right.
So his motivation really in becoming a Dark Lord overall is he's really just ashamed of his father's name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so basically he has daddy issues. But he chooses the name Voldemort because it's more of a, it's kind of a combination of his name, Talmar Voldo Riddle. But, and this is J.K. Rowling, you know, she does a lot of, like, she adds a lot of meaning into the names that she puts.
Uh-huh.
So Voldemort loosely translates to flight of death in French. So that's kind of interesting because we see that he is actually, that's his biggest fear, his death. And that's really why he's making...
and flying.
Yeah.
So, not to completely derail you, but just a question on, like, the physics of a Horcrux.
Mm-hmm.
Say that you have, say a person has three Horcruxes and they get killed and then the Horcruxes bring him back to life. Does he then only have two Horcruxes? Like, did he expend one? Or are those just there?
It's like you use, like, say you have three lives, you would die from this one, and then this one you would, like, transfer into it.
Right. Gotcha.
But also they say that every time you become a next Horcrux, or use that next Horcrux, I guess, become less of a person. Which may kind of explain...
Yeah.
You know, his evilness, or, like, progression of evilness.
Totally.
So, I don't really remember... Sorry, derailing some more. But I don't really remember, but... So, did he ever, like, expend any of his Horcruxes? Like, or... That's what I'm trying to think. Is, like, how many did they destroy in the books and movies?
I don't believe he ever...
He never died.
He would have only actually used one of them, right?
Like, did he die, though? I don't remember.
So, with Harry, he already had one made. So, when he died with Harry,
Oh, that... I guess that makes sense.
Because the curse rebounded and hit him. And the reason it didn't kill him was because he had Okra. So would each death have taken, like, 10 years to recover from?
I don't believe so. I think he was just so damaged by that particular curse.
Gotcha.
You know, no one has ever done this before. The most anyone has ever split their soul and made a Horcrux is once. And for him to do it so many times, I don't know, it could potentially make him less of a person, make him more evil because of that. And we don't really know the ramifications of that, of doing that so many times.
It certainly doesn't seem like it takes away from your magical powers, because he was still very powerful, even with that body they created.
Right.
So now I'm going to get into some of the explanations for him becoming evil overall. So one of the theories is that that was because his mother was using a love potion with his father, that somehow that love potion transferred itself to him when he was conceived. So it's believed that because he was no longer being given that love potion, he was unable to feel love or to feel empathy towards other people. So also, this probably plays into the reason that he was able to cause so much mental and physical harm to others, even at a young age. So, for example, in the orphanage. Another reason for his possible evil is that he never had parents, and he never really had an example of what love was or what caring for other people looked like.
Probably the most real world possibility.
But we also can compare this to Harry to an extent, because he didn't have parents either, and arguably living and growing up with the Dursleys could be worse than growing up in an orphanage.
Yeah, yeah.
Potentially, yeah.
So, I don't know if that's a really good theory to an explanation of evil.
I mean, certainly not an excuse, right?
Absolutely. So, and then anger. He grew up with a lot of anger specifically directed towards his parents, specifically his father, once he finds out that his father is a muggle. And then he's also dealing with this, like, inner conflict of, I'm not really who and what I thought I was. So being a half-blood, and it's kind of ironic that he wants to kill half-bloods in the wizarding world when he is one himself.
Yeah, I was thinking that earlier. That was a pretty big deal with him. I didn't know that he wasn't pure blood.
So we can definitely cut what I'm about to say out completely. But is there any connection with Voldemort and Hitler? Because that was kind of the same thing, right?
Was Hitler Jewish?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Partly, I think. So, anyway. Oh, I mean, sorry. Sorry. Go ahead.
I think there are, like, lines you could draw, you know. I think that J.K. Rowling has, I wouldn't say she's outright come out and said that Voldemort is, like, her version of Hitler, but it would make sense if you compared the two, yeah. So he also has this hatred for his family, abandonment issues, daddy issues. Like, he's just got a lot going on. And then this anger kind of spirals into, like, psychopathic behaviors, going back to, like, wanting to physically and mentally harm others, and then not having remorse, being okay with harming others. I mean, there's just a lot of, like, comparisons between, like, psychopathic tendencies and Voldemort. So one of the reasons I think he really kind of, one of the reasons behind his downfall is because of so much meaning and intention that he had behind what he did. So one of the interesting things I think about Voldemort, and almost a stupid thing, is that he's extremely thematic with his Horcruxes. Not only what they are, but the placement of them.
That was a big criticism, was like, he wants to make these Horcruxes, but he picks the literally most important heirlooms to Hogwarts and then puts them in Hogwarts.
Right. Yeah. So I remember there's, like, a line that that Hermione says in one of the books. I think it's the seventh book, so sorry, Trevor. But but she says something like, Horcruxes could be anything, and they could be anywhere in the entire world. So, like, finding them and killing them is going to be extremely difficult, or at least they expect it to.
Yeah.
Once you find the theme behind what he's doing and see, like, the comparisons of, like, you know, one Horcrux to another, it really becomes easy for them to find and kill them.
I mean, like, if I was making a Horcrux, I'd pick, like, I'd get seven different grains of sand, right? And then put them each in different oceans.
Exactly. So, for example, he hides the Gaunt Ring in the Gaunt House where he kills his uncle.
The last place they'll look.
He hides the locket in the cave where he tormented the children at his orphanage, which that one is a little bit more skewed, but he hides a diary and the goblet with his followers, which, like, if you were gonna look for something, why wouldn't you go to the people that might know where it is? Mm-hmm. And then he hides the diadem in Hogwarts. It's one of the founding members' items, and he hides it where the founder founded. So at the end of all of this, it's really his arrogance is the reason for his downfall. He thought he was so powerful and smart and untouchable when really, like, 16 and 17-year-old children were able to figure out these Horcruxes.
Sorry, I was just laughing because maybe... I don't know, never mind. I was just thinking... Like, the book was written for, like, 16 and 17-year-olds, right? Maybe. Just to make them feel like they can figure things out. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird, right? Like, this incredibly powerful dark wizard whose equal is a 17-year-old kid who mainly relies on Expelliarmus.
The only spell he knows.
Yeah, something I almost did instead of covering Voldemort was just doing crime in the wizarding world in general.
There's, like, wizard drugs.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, there are wizard drugs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, damn.
It's called a flippity-do.
Oh, God.
It's a drug you can take. It's also the things that Luna sees when she puts on her glasses. The smiggledy-dorfs or whatever.
So, yeah, it's just kind of ironic and... funny how all of this kind of culmination of who Voldemort is really contributed to his downfall overall, and it really had not a lot to do with Harry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well done. That was interesting. Especially with the setup of, like, me saying, oh yeah, I've read all the books, seen all the movies, I know a lot of this. I knew almost none of that.
Oh, well, perfect.
Would you like to give the call to action, or do you want me to do that?
Oh, you do it. You do it.
Okay. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us for the second episode that you also almost certainly won't hear of Crime Pop. Sydney Bowman was the host today. I've been Jeff. Trevor was here, too. If you feel like it, tell a friend to listen to the show, as long as your friends don't know any of us in real life, because we certainly don't need that. Rate the show 5 stars. Leave a review. We really appreciate that. And we will see you next week for another crime. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.